All right, folks, welcome back to yet another episode of Fresh Juice, an indie game podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Tommy Fresh, and joined as always, it is
Matty Juice. What's going on, everybody? Episode 120. My goodness, here we are. We've made it. And I'm excited to talk about the game today. Tom, what do we got on the menu for the people?
We have a game called Tearscape, which was developed and published by Nerds Take Over, currently on Steam at the price of $14.99. We'll be talking about that. We're going to be giving our little reviews after some, you know, firsthand impressions with it. And it'll be good. We also have, you know, our juicy take of the week coming up, some notable releases, and then some listener questions. And finally, our rec room, where we recommend something that perhaps isn't an indie game. But first, what's new? How you been? How was your weekend?
Yeah, been doing good. Let's see, what has been going on? My goodness. Well, obviously the Super Bowl, went to the Super Bowl party, had a good time. Brought some, you know, mini hot dogs, which were good. And then we also got like the Nothing Bundt cakes, which were good. There's like mini versions of them. So there's like a Biscoff one, I think Oreo and some other ones. That was good. That was good. Nice. And yeah. What?
I said nice.
Nice. Okay. I thought you said, oh, I don't know why. and then what else? Today. So Lady Juice and I took off today of work. And we had our little daughter met another baby for the first time.
Whoa.
Really, like a real baby. And actually, a baby, it's, I guess my brother-in-law's sister? I don't know, whatever that is. whatever that is.
Okay. Yeah.
That baby was born at the same hospital the day before our daughter. So Basically almost the same age, is a boy though. So they were hanging out. It was cool to see them just be like, whoa, there's another baby. So it was good. It went really well. And that was just cool to see, you know. And then they both kind of started getting upset and tired at the same time too. So it was like they were synced up. They just both started like crying at the same time. So we're like, all right, well, that's the end of the visit. So that was good. What else? I went to Birdsmouth Great Brewery with one of our buddies, Bags.
Shout out Bags.
Freezing cold. It's been absolutely awful the past few days at least. We went there, we hung out, got the chicken tenders, great chicken tenders from Baseline Social right next door. Honestly, top tier. I consider myself the luckiest man. Now, I consider myself chicken finger aficionado, and those are some great chicken tenders. I recommend them. It's in Oceanport, New Jersey. Go check it out. I guess Oceanport, right? That sounds right. That's what it is.
Yeah. Port Monmouth.
Yeah. Okay.
Or Oceanport. I think it's the same thing.
Okay. So that was good. And then a little before that on Saturday, we also went to, there's a bunch of places near us that are like, it's like a kind of like a Goodwill. They refurbish old furniture, things like that. And, you know, lamps and all that sort of stuff. And they're actually closing near us. So they were running, like, it's already kind of discounted stuff. They were running another 60% off. So we were able to get two dressers for $100, which is pretty good because we have been sharing, my wife and I have been sharing a dresser since we moved in here. So like
holy moly.
7 years. And I was like, I've just had enough because I'm like, I'm putting clothes in a guest room. You know, we got clothes on top of the dresser. I'm like, we can afford another dresser. So we went and we just found two that were, you know, they're fine. They'll get the job done. Wasn't too picky because everything was so cheap, but so did that. Got to figure out when to go pick that up. That's what's been going on. Just house stuff, baby stuff, Super Bowl, playing games where I can, and the Steam Deck really came in handy, I'd say, the past few days. So That's been nice. That's been good. But what about you? What's been going on Tommy's side of the world?
Oy vey. I've been very busy. I had a really busy week of work last week because we recorded a day earlier last week because I was just so busy. Went out to Hershey, had like two events and then like four lunch meetings in 1 week, yeah. Which is like a lunch meeting for what I do ends up being like 2-3 hours. And, you know, you got to like just like be ready. You got to be on. You got to be talking. You got to be like, so I was super drained. And then Saturday we went out to dinner for Lady Fresh's mom's birthday. Nice place in New Brunswick. Shout out the Scarlet Knights. It was a place called Casa Ragazzi, which is like an Italian joint. Really good, fancy stuff.
Fun to say, too.
Yeah, very, very fun to say. I had a cacio e pepe. It was very, very nice. And then, you know, we went back. We hung out a little bit and, you know, did some gifts for my mother-in-law. And the funniest thing happened because Lady Fresh and her sister both like kind of got gifts together for her. And they got her like, she likes spicy stuff. So they got her like a dried hot sauce, like basically where it's almost like a pepper grinder where you just grind it out.
Yeah.
They didn't read the name. And we're standing there. She's like, open the present. She feels full. I was like, oh, Chapped Grumble. And she does not know what that means. So I started losing it. And she's like, what's going on? I'm like, I think that it's like it means bottom. You know, it's like, you know, it's a hot sauce joke there. So that was pretty funny. But yeah. And then I watched some Olympics, and then Lady Fresh said she had never seen Cool Runnings, so I made her watch Cool Runnings.
Oh my God. Thoughts?
Yes.
She positive?
All right. Yeah. I mean, it's a good movie, yeah, right? And then, yeah, Super Bowl. You know, I really enjoyed the Super Bowl. I love like the defensive chess match things going on. And I also love when the punter is on the field a lot. And we got a lot of that in the Super Bowl.
So
we got to see some high-tier punting and special teams play. And
not enough deck building, though, I'd say.
Not enough deck building.
Yeah.
But it is a turn-based it's like a turn-based sport. So
yeah.
I gotta say I do like that. And then just today, just catching up and get ready for the week again and hopefully warms up. Another pipe froze on Saturday night. So gotta, you know, just get warm. It's gonna break this week, it sounds like. So we're gonna do okay. We're gonna be fine, folks.
Good.
It's gonna be cool. But
wait, the pipe's gonna break?
No, I might whenever it thaws out. It might have already burst, but
yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah.
That'll be fun. You know, gotta love it.
Keep on your toes. Yeah.
Sure. It keeps me on something. But I am excited to talk about games today. But first, we have breaking news. Just came across my desk. We have a Discord. Check it out. It's in the show notes below. Give us a click, folks. Go in there. Get in there. You can chat and you can say, hey, here's a listener question. And we'll answer it. How cool is that? But
amazing.
Amazing. A couple notable releases this week, though, coming out. First one, I think, is the biggest release, I would have to say, at least in the indie game world, is Mugenix, which is from the developer of Binding of Isaac, I believe.
Yes. Yep. That's
and
the one.
And something else? And Mr. Super Meat Boy?
I just know Bonnie of Isaac. I don't know. Maybe is there another? Let's see. Let's check it out. Is it Edmund McMillan? Bonnie of
Edmund
Isaac.
Edmund McMillan is Binding of Isaac.
And there is Tyler. The Basement Collection, which I've played in a while, which does have like Meat Boy in it.
Okay.
Yeah, this is like a collection of 9 award-winning indie games from the creator of Binding Isaac and Super Meat Boy. Yes, so same, I guess, yeah, same person?
Same team.
I guess, same team, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, so, yeah, this one looks real interesting. Are you going to be playing this? Or maybe, I mean, I don't know if we're going to review it, but...
I don't know. I mean, I've never played Binding of Isaac. I never got into it. You know, I know our buddy Bags loves the game, but and I know it's supposed to be amazing, but I just never got into it. So
yeah,
this clearly looks like different in a lot of ways. I think it's a little bit more of a turn-based game, but also it looks hilarious. Like I don't know if they're going to show it in the trailer, but. Like, I was watching some stuff on TikTok, and, like, these cats are literally just, like, you know, banging and, like, reproducing, like, in the game. And you're like, what the heck is going on? But, yeah, it could be neat. I mean, I think the early reviews have already started coming out, and it sounds like it's another hit on their hands. Yeah, there it is. Yeah. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Very, you know, that's how it's done. That's Mugenics right there.
Yep.
Yeah, this one is interesting. I've also never really played Binding of Isaac, maybe a little bit, like way back when it came out. I don't really remember. But yeah, there they are. They're humping that thing. It seems like people are pretty hyped for it just because of who's making it. But I don't know. There's something about like the trailers and everything I've seen for it where nothing has really grabbed me yet for some reason. I don't know, honestly, if it's because it's cat related. And like, I don't know, typically games with like a lot of cats, I'm like not into. Like, I don't know why. But I really, I think it's outside of that. Oh, my God. Look at this trailer. outside of that, I don't know. None of the gameplay has made me go like, oh, man, like I need to. Try that out. So I'm just gonna wait for reviews, honestly, with this one and see what people say, and then maybe I'll end up picking it up. But yeah, I know it's probably the most hyped game coming out this week, or like, well, I guess would already have been out by the time this episode's out. So yeah,
I was trying to convince Lady Fresh to let us get a cat last night.
Yeah,
because we were at, during the Super Bowl, my buddy's parents' cat laid next to me the whole time.
Oh yeah,
yeah. So every single time I sat down, come up, I'm like, oh, come on. And you can hunt mice. I mean, like, you're so useful. But yeah. This one probably, it's like, it's for that fan base, I think, and I think it will probably also grab some other people too, based on the wackiness of it. So
yeah,
should be interesting. Funny enough, I think we got 2 cat games, although we're not going to get to the next one right away, but we have 2 cat games coming out this week. But the next one's called Cinecross. I just came across this. Was it the Backstreet Boys? It just popped up.
Oh, is that what that was?
Yeah, sorry, yeah.
New tab, sorry.
Yeah. But this one looks cool to me. I don't know. It's like dark fantasy roguelike, puzzle, like meets dungeon crawling, but also kind of reminds me a little bit of Minesweeper, I guess. I'm not really sure, but it does look really neat. Not really sure what's going on with it, but
I was just gonna say, what is going on here?
Yeah. But you know, it definitely has, like, graphics wise, you know, they're definitely pulling from the ball pit popularity here, which is, you know, obviously not a bad thing. So yeah, pretty, I mean, like, I don't know, this is a wait and see for me, but you know, it has the makings of a game that I would really love to be honest. So yeah,
same here. This one looks pretty cool, and I get a lot of he's coming vibes.
Sure. Yeah.
From this, you know, just you know, just graphics wise, not gameplay wise really at all. But yeah, I don't really know what's going on either, but it does look really cool. So Cinecross, interesting. I wonder, because obviously you're solving puzzles, going to the next part of the dungeon. What does the name mean? Cinecross? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah. But Yeah. cool find. Yeah, this is the cat-related game, huh?
No, this is not the cat-related game, but neither is the next one. You put High on Life 2 here.
Yes, I did.
This game looks insane.
Yeah, so this is the sequel, obviously, to High on Life, which is made by, this is one of those games where I'm like, is it truly indie? But it's Squanch Games, the Rick and Morty people that made the first one. So it's like this ridiculous, FPS like story game where like your gun is alive and there's all these wacky weapons and stuff. And I know people like really like the first one. I only played a little bit of the first one. And I will say that like the most fun thing that I kind of came across when I played is just like the art and like the characters and everything. You can even see kind of in like the, the trailer there. None of the gameplay really like stood out to me as like, something that was like totally different. There's a lot of games that have like weird, Bioshocky kind of vibes. But this one, I think High on Life 2, they're taking it to like another level, it seems like, in the trailer. So hopefully it ends up being good. But yeah, I just want to throw it on here because I've seen some people talk about the first one. I feel like it's kind of like an underrated, like not really talked about game. I think the first one even, it's $19 right now. But yeah, very positive on Steam, good amount of ratings. So I think their second one hopefully should do pretty well too.
Yeah, this is this looks crazy. I mean, it's definitely not my cup of tea, but I mean, I like the out there stuff. I mean, if it's like improving upon the first one, which already is a big hit, it seems like this could be kind of a gem on people's hands for the lovers of the FPSs out there and insane like absolutely insane stuff. Like it's almost too much. Is this the gameplay that we're watching or is it cinematic? Because it's actually crazy.
Yeah, that's the thing is that it is the gameplay. And so that's kind of why I was like, the part that stood out to me the most is just like the characters and everything. Cause like the gameplay, it can be hard to like focus sometimes. Especially at least in this trailer, things seem a little crazier. So Yeah, I would expect nothing less from the Rick and Morty team, even if Rick and Morty has kind of fallen off a bit, but I digress.
I never got into Rick and Morty. I tried. Everybody's, you got to watch it. You got to watch it. I watched a couple episodes. I'm like, it's fine, I guess. I don't know, but people really, really were obsessed with that show.
Yeah, we liked the first few seasons quite a bit, and then it got to the point where every episode I'm like, what is happening? Like, it was hard to like follow and, just cause like they kind of need to keep topping themselves. Right. So yeah, the first few seasons we liked, but, the later ones were a little tougher to like, it was just kind of random things that seemed like that were happening, like almost like the Family Guy situation, right? Where like, there's just always like cutaways and it can be really funny, but also it's like, when you're binging a show, you're like, okay, I need to take a break from this like format for a bit because like things are just blurring together at this point.
Yeah, so. Some things aren't as bingeable. Now this next game is the cat game.
Yes, it is.
This is Cadence. I mean, it's like barely a cat game. You're just a cat that is solving puzzles, I guess. Yeah, it looks like a straight up puzzle game that has like music tie-ins here. Which is kind of cool. Like you're almost like using the puzzles to do like beats and stuff like that. It's hard to tell without the music, to be honest.
Yeah, it's I believe this is like because it says you're solving circuits to create music. So it seems like every I'm gonna just listen to it here. I don't think the listeners can. Apologies. It's 2026. We don't have the tech yet.
I can't hear you anymore.
You can't hear me? Okay, what about now?
Oh, wait.
You hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, we're good. So I was playing a little bit of it. I don't know what happened, but it's like spacey kind of music.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so it just seemed like a cool concept. I'm always like a big fan of trying out these like minimalistic puzzle games, you know, like Monument Valley kind of vibes. Like, it just, I mean, when they're on my phone, it just it takes up so much time because I just love trying to solve these little puzzles. So this one stood out. I don't know if it's coming out on mobile, but it seems like
it did say the Apple Store. I don't know about Android though. Yeah,
the don't one even use the Apple Store anymore.
Oh, or whatever.
My God, that's just like people still have iPhone. No, but yeah, hopefully it comes out on Android. But it seemed like a cool game. Yeah, where you're just a cat. I guess like you could be anything. It seems like there's no reason you're a cat in this. I guess, but cool little aesthetic there.
People love cats. It's true. People love cats. Yeah, this looks cool. I mean, I would probably like it on mobile too. Always down for a good mobile game. Also, just I saw that we talked about when did we do the test? Test was that last week? The test plays.
Yeah,
the play test.
Yeah.
Gambonanza is also going to launch on mobile, which is pretty sick.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You also went back to try and play that, and the playtest was over.
That's sadly what happened to me. I went to go play it for the first time. I was like, all right, I got time. It's great. And then I click it on Steam, and it just says uninstall instead of play.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, I missed it. So I'll just have to live through you for my experience with that game built out.
It seems like it's close. Well, you might not have to wait too long. Now, let's get to our juicy take of the week. Are you ready for your juicy take? For those of you who don't know, our juicy take is our controversial take of the week.
Yes,
for
it
video
is.
Games.
Yes, it is.
Do you want to go first or you want me to go first?
You know what? You go first.
Okay.
And don't steal mine.
Okay. My juicy take of the week is that, barring some exceptions, and I'll explain those, video games are not a good medium for storytelling. I think that it pales in comparison to almost every other medium that does storytelling. And I think that video games, while can have some engaging stories, it will never be as good as that story being told through a film or a TV show, or even like a short little YouTube video, you know, for depending on the story. Now, there are some exceptions. Clearly, there's like interactive narrative stories like Dispatch just came out last year and games like that. And not to say there aren't like good stories in games, but I personally would almost always rather experience that story through film or television. And that's the juicy take. Like, to me, when I hear people say like that story was amazing, and I'm like, okay, what are we like? Yeah, I'm sure it was like engaging, but was it amazing? Mm-hmm. Like that, like these NPCs that are doing like cutscenes and stuff like that, or even like that you're talking to within your game, are really going to give you the raw emotion of like actual humans. That's the thing to me. And also, I think the main reason for that is less is more in video games for story for me, because I want to feel like I'm the character and that I'm going to experience this game and story however I want to, you know. So that's my juicy take.
You know, I like it because I feel like if you think about storytelling at its core, right? Obviously, it started through just voice, right? Mm-hmm. And then you kind of have books, right? They're essentially the same thing. That's like, I would say books are like the OG way of storytelling, right?
Yeah.
And then
books,
you often
oral.
Yeah. Okay. I guess for you, that's
you know what I mean. Oral storytelling.
But you often hear, right? Like, oh, the movie's not as good as the book, right?
Yeah.
And it's because of restrictions that each medium provides, right? With books and, like, you know, telling stories orally, you have no restrictions because you can just say whatever or write whatever, right? Really, you know? With books, I guess a little bit more so if you're, like, trying to do a certain, like, page count. But, like, exactly. Like, it's just, like, voice has no restrictions. Book, maybe a little bit, but not really. And then movies, obviously, restrictions and, like, you got budget involved and you've got, like, you know, the right actors. Is, like, the script good because you have to adapt it from the book? And then you take it even further with games. And it's, like, there's even more restrictions because not only do you, you know, have to worry about all, basically all the stuff you have to worry about with movies, but now you need to make sure it, like, runs on the right hardware, whatever you're designing it for. You need to also worry about gameplay elements, you know, aside from story, is it fun to play? And it actually gets to a point where, like, you know, when I think of, like, a great story game, I think personally of, like, The Last of Us, because, like, I just love everything about, like, the way that story's told. But I also love it because I'm, like, at certain points, I'm like, wow, this is like watching a movie, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, it's not even like the, because it's a game. It's just like, oh, I'm playing this like interactive movie, essentially, even though there is more to it with The Last of Us, but like from like the gameplay side. So yeah, I feel like, you know, that makes a lot of sense that like these mediums that have more and more restrictions makes it harder to do like effective storytelling because you need to consistently like cut corners, right, on the story. Yeah. There's always like, I'm always asking like Lady Juice, I'm always like, because she loves Harry Potter, so sometimes when we watch the movies, I'm like, I'll be like, oh, did he really say that in the movie or in the book? And she'll be like, no, like he actually like isn't even alive here, you know, like it's something like that. I'm like, what? That's crazy. You know, I'll be like, oh, is this person portraying the book well? You know, be like, is this, and sometimes she'll be like, oh, they were the perfect choice. Or sometimes they're like, no, this person's totally different. And I think a good example of that, that maybe a lot of people have seen, right, is like, you ever seen like the, I was going to say Gandalf, Dumbledore's like yelling at Harry, did you put your name in a goblet of fire? Yeah. And, like in the book, he says it calmly. So it's like, even those little things can like affect how the story is told, right?
Yeah.
So I think, you know, all that to say, you're definitely on to something there with that take, that like it's really hard in games to tell a great story. And I feel like even during the show, when we do the story element, it's very rare that we're like, this is a great story, like a game like Death Howl or something like that, you know, where we're like, but even then Death Howl, it's like,
but that was like a less is more, right?
Yeah,
like,
exactly. It, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's just like, we haven't really played a game, I'd say, on the show that has like, maybe like an Expedition 33 type of story from what I hear about it, you know, like something like that. So it's rare. It's rare that there's a good story. So great hot take. I love it. I love it.
Thank you. Thank you. You know what else is rare?
What?
Banjo-Kazooie, right?
Am I yeah. I'm like, folks? Fresh Juice Discord.
Yeah. Fresh Juice. Just like cut in our own personal ad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh man.
And you know what else has cool music? The channel that we talk about music. And all right, what's your juicy take?
All right, so my juicy take here is that I think the Steam Next Fest has a net negative on indie devs specifically.
Whoa.
So I feel like there's a lot of good that happens with the Next Fest, obviously from our side, right? We get to try a bunch of different demos. You know, there's some really awesome stuff out there. But also I feel like more times than not that I go actually play a demo, I'm like, all right, I get the gist of this game, and maybe I don't come back to it. You know, I'm like, all right, wasn't really for me. Like I find that it is, you know, rare for me, or it happens more often where I find a game that I'm not into than a game that I'm into with the Next Fest. So I feel from the dev perspective, you're like, all right, I need to have a slice of my game out there that shows like the gameplay loop, kind of what I'm going for. And like that can be great, you know, if your game does well, but I feel like, you know, there's so many indie games that come out that it ends up just being a negative for developers. Because even if they end up getting you know, feedback about their game, like it can be tough, especially as a solo dev, to even like act on that feedback. So I think the Next Fest, while great for us, can, you know, there's probably indie devs out there that, you know, don't want to participate it for that reason. And that's my juicy hot take that I have no
Interesting.
data to back up with. But that's just
I
what
was about
I
to say, I was
think.
like, I wonder if the data lines up with
Yeah,
that.
I mean, I don't know, but I feel like the Next Fest would have, like, why wouldn't you want to, you know, from our side, you know, if you don't like think a lot about it, you're like, why wouldn't an indie dev want to participate in the Next Fest? And then I kind of started thinking, well, maybe it's, you know, it ends up hurting their sales because their game isn't resonating how they thought it would. But they still need to go ahead and release it because they already have a demo, you know. So I just feel like that happens probably more often than not with the Next Fest. But I'd love to be proven wrong, you know, by any indie devs out there and get their thoughts on it if anyone's listening. But yeah, so.
I'm gonna take it a step further. I think you're on the right track. I think the real thing, and I don't know if it's necessarily a Next Fest issue, but a great game doesn't always make a great demo, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And or a great dev doesn't always have the skill set to make a good demo, right? Because they've been thinking about this game that their whole life has been, right, for however long, and they're thinking about it on this macro scale with like a lot of different micro scales within it that they can't like it should I would imagine it's hard to pick out what like some games should be demoed, right?
Yeah.
Like how should this experience be? It's just like I mean to bring it back to like movies, right? Like I've seen terrible trailers that I'm like, I don't want to see that movie. And then you just hear it's like,
Yeah.
oh, it's the best movie ever made. And then you're
Yeah.
like, oh, okay, well, I'll check it out now. But you know, with indie games, it's a bigger like hump to kind of overcome. So
Yeah.
yeah, I know what you're saying. I got you.
Yeah, and I think also, you know, like you were saying, like some indie devs aren't that great at making demos, and I think a big part of that is a demo needs to have like an introduction of what the rules are in the game or what the mechanics are. And sometimes they're like, oh, wait, I don't need that. I'll just splice out a game. Like I played a game recently. I'm not gonna call it out, but you hop in, you don't know what's going on. It was a demo, and there's no instructions, and it got to the point where like I played it for 30 minutes and I was like, is there anything that's gonna like am I gonna start figuring this out soon of like what is the real gameplay loop in this game? And I ended up just being like, all right, I'm just gonna uninstall it and I'm not gonna really touch that game anymore. So
Can I guess what game?
sure, go ahead.
Roblox Dress to Impress?
That's it. That's it. That's
Thought
the
so.
one. Yeah.
Well,
It
it's notably a really steep learning curve, so
yeah,
I
I mean,
get
you know, shout out Roblox, the show sponsor too. We appreciate
it.
just kidding,
Yeah.
don't sue us. Yeah, so anyway, those are the hot takes. Those are pretty
Those are
hot of
I
takes,
think
I'd
they're
say.
steaming.
Yeah,
They are
they are.
steaming. I'll tell you
They
that.
are.
I don't know if in what kind of way they're steaming, but they are steaming. But we do have a review to get to. Our first like dual review in a minute here. It is Tearscape. As I mentioned before, it's developed and published by Nerds Takeover. It's on Steam for $14.99. Here's the blurb about what this game is. As a hunter, you explore a dark, interconnected world filled with dungeons, relying on precise combat to survive. Battle grotesque monsters, expand your arsenal, and uncover hidden paths in a non-linear pixel art journey. Let's get right into it. I'm going to start with the gameplay here. This has kind of been marketed as a, like, Oracle of Time, like, Zelda-like, Souls-like, right? And I think if you're watching the video,
like.
Or, yeah, there's a lot of likes going on, but it's not roguelike, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
It feels like you're playing a Game Boy Color game that was designed with the ideals of Souls games. And, you know, you hop right in, you're moving around. It's pretty simple combat or controls anyway. Move around, you got a dash, you have an attack. Eventually you can get a shield as well. So not a lot of inputs to speak of right away. You know, you have an interact button as well to, like, you know, grab pots and stuff like that, read different signs and talk to NPCs. But, you know, you hop in, you're kind of exploring this world, which you have to find map pieces. So there's almost like a Metroidvania-esque thing going on with it as well.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of the map feels very Metroidvania-ish. And I'm trying to not say like, but you know, you get like health bar or health potions to start out with as well. And, you know, you refill that stuff whenever you get to like a save point, like a statue thing. And, you know, at the save point, you can use the currency. I forget what the heck it's called. It's like tears.
There you
makes
go.
Sense. Tearscape. You use the currency that you found by killing enemies as you go through to level up your stuff, right? You can level up your, I think there's four different attributes. I think it was strength, speed,
strength, skill, vitality, stamina.
Stamina, yeah. Okay, stamina, you have you can only, like, you have another kind of bar for stamina down below where it will drain if you're attacking a lot, like with heavier weapons, and then also if you're, like, running, and then also if you're, like, dodging a lot. So, you know, in my experience with this game, I mean, it was pretty good. Like, I like this gameplay. It's, you know, it took a minute for me to get used to it. Like, initially I was like, oh, how Souls-like is this going to be? You know, that was the question, right? Because, I mean, my experience, I played a lot of Elden Ring, so that is my main experience with that genre, and we've played, obviously, some other stuff as well. So I was like, how much is this going to be? And it really does boil down to, this is really if it was on the Game Boy Color, based on its limitations, which is not a bad thing. I think that people looking for really complex combat might not be as happy with this game, but I found it to be pretty cool. You have, you know, a lot of different options in terms of, you know, tools you can equip, and these will give you not permanent buffs, but like buffs while they're equipped. And, you know, yeah, you're running around. It is, as they say, non-linear, so you can kind of travel around and fight things as you please. I think the first, like, chunk of the game is pretty linear in terms of where it's leading you. But once you get to the first, like, dungeon with its first boss and you beat that, you can kind of go and explore a little bit more in an open world kind of way. And I will say, I think that a lot of this is really good. I mean, I enjoy the combat. I enjoy the different kind of weapons you can find and use. And then, as well as, like, I beat the first boss, and that, I think, is going to be the selling point for a lot of people, is the boss fights. It's really good. It's fun. It's challenging. It doesn't feel like impossible, or, I mean, at least the first one didn't, but it definitely was a challenge. It took me a couple tries, and, you know, I like when games will, like, punish you for trying to rush something. And because that's what I'll tend to do sometimes if I'm just trying to get through and experience more of the game. And then I was like, okay, no, wait, this is how I need to actually, like, really think and plan out this combat. So, yeah, I mean, my experience with this gameplay is good. I mean, I like this style of game. I always like the top-down Zeldas, and I also like challenging like combat as well. So I enjoyed this gameplay a decent amount here. How about yourself?
Yeah, I think, you know, this is like what you said, right? Where it's a Zelda-like, Souls-like experience. And I feel like it almost reminds me more on the Zelda side than anything. Like there are some Souls-like elements, like you have a flask system and obviously you have the tier system. And if you die, you know, you can go pick up your tiers. And then that's your currency for purchasing things or leveling up. But I actually think that from what I played and what I was looking for a little bit more of was weapon variety. I feel like, you know, you obviously get a shield. And then I know, like, I didn't get to this point, but like just doing like research for the show, like knowing that there's like a bomb, right? Like like very similar to Zelda. And I just, typically in like Souls-like games, it's either a weapon or something else that you can like kind of swap in. Like I was thinking like another Crab's Treasure, right? Like you have the same weapon the whole game, but you have a different shell. There's a bunch of different shells that you can swap out that give you different abilities. So I was hoping for maybe just like, like I have a bow now or something like that. Cause even in Zelda, you get a little bit of that, you know, with like just different ways to like attack from a distance. And maybe I just didn't get to that point yet, but, I figured it would come a little bit earlier, but I think the gameplay itself, you know, while simple, like totally reminiscent of, you know, the Game Boy days. And I could see this being on like Game Boy Color, Game Boy Advance, something like that. And really just having a great time with it. You know, this would just be another game that I'm like, oh, this is that game that's like Zelda, you know, and I've already beat Zelda and this was cheap at GameStop. So let me go pick this up and play this one. That's kind of what it just sort of reminded me of. I will say like the Souls like aspect as well. One thing with Souls games is that, you know, when you engage in a battle, it can be difficult to kind of get out of that battle. Even like, you know, even if it's just like a random, like small enemy, right? You're like, okay, I need to run a bit to try to get that enemy to like de-aggro typically. This game, you don't really have to deal with that because since it is kind of like Game Boy Color-esque where you're kind of moving from room to room and there's not a lot of space in each room. If you want, you could just like bolt through a room and not even have to, you know, kill anything. You won't get the tears obviously from it, but and that ends up being important. But if you, there were a few times where like I died and I was like, I just ran straight back to my, you know, my, where I left my tears, and I didn't have to worry about a bunch of enemies like chasing me, which you typically have to worry about. So that was something that was nice about the game. Although I do feel like it maybe takes a little bit away from like the challenge, because even there's like certain rooms I might enter, where, you know, the enemy like just killed me and I'm like, all right, I'm just gonna like, enter here. The enemy starts to aggro and I just leave the room. And then they like kind of very much like Zelda when the doors don't lock on you, right? You can just kind of like those old school Zeldas, you can just like leave the room. So that just kind of takes away a little bit for me, like the Souls aspect of the game and like the difficulty aspect. But, I did overall like enjoy the gameplay because I love Souls games. I love Zelda games. It's a good mix of the two. And then, yeah, there are those Metroidvania elements where I don't think there's elements that I came across that are like, oh, when you get this ability or this item, then you can access this area that you visited before, right? Like typical kind of Metroidvania. But there are those elements of, you know, obviously the map is very reminiscent of a Metroidvania because it's like non-linear. And then there's also, what was the other thing you mentioned about Metroidvanias with this game?
The map style. I mean, that's pretty much it. I mean, like, it didn't feel like you needed to, like, unlock new abilities, get to different parts of the map. But the map just did feel like a little Castle or Metroidvania ish.
Yeah, and you have to find the maps to get them unlocked and all that sort of stuff. So that was cool, like having that sprinkled in a little bit. The only real like thing with the gameplay that, like, you know, all those things I kind of mentioned don't take away from my enjoyment of the gameplay, but I would like a little bit more secrets in the gameplay. You know, I found that like a lot of the rooms I'd enter, like there wasn't really any, there was like two enemies in there, and then there were interesting things on the walls, but couldn't interact or break them. I don't know, just like a little bit more of that where I'm like, oh, there was a secret, I don't know, like a mega heart here. I got like a heart piece here. I don't know, something like that, that like Zelda does well, the Souls games do well. Just a little bit more like secret items would feel really good. But that's just kind of a nice to have. But if you're playing this and you're kind of like thinking, oh, I'm going to get a lot of, you know, a lot of those secret items like in a Zelda game, I didn't really come across that. There were a lot of things I tried to interact with that I was like, oh, I can definitely, there's something behind here, but there was nothing. So, yeah, it's a very light, it's like Zelda like light and Souls like light, basically, this game. So, yeah, but had a good time with the gameplay for sure. I think it's still fun at the end of the day.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Now, moving on to the story, this is kind of like, you know, a less is more kind of thing. You know, you're kind of hopping in, you're just like, you know, you're this hunter, and you get a lot of your story from kind of running into different NPCs and stuff like that. I wasn't getting anything very meaty here. Yeah. It's just kind of like, hey, classic, just hop in, explore this area. You know, have, you know, you're doing the kind of dark fantasy kind of like Souls-like thing. I never felt like I was like knew what the motives were that much, but you know, I did enjoy some of the NPC interactions. It's a cool world, I think too, but I wouldn't say this is like the cream of the crop when it comes to story. Like, I know it's weird to talk about this after the juicy take, but like, There are better examples of good story in games like this, I think. But it's not bad per se, but I didn't, you know, I don't feel like I was missing anything, but I don't think you're going to really get anything out of this if that's what you're looking for.
Yeah, I'm with you. You know, there's like this like medieval religious like, you know, undertone with the dialogue, and there's really didn't seem like a lot more depth than that. Everything you said, totally agree. Story wise, this is not a story heavy game. Actually, I mean, based on your take, it's impossible to have a story. No, I'm just kidding. it's just don't play this for the story. If you know, there's a little lore here and there, but it's not the main driving factor for this game.
Yeah, definitely not. Now, the visuals, though, I think are kind of going to be a big factor here. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, like I said earlier, this is like feels like Game Boy Color era, you know, super like dark fantasy pixel art. It looks really cool. A lot of the enemy design is pretty interesting. You know, for a second during the beginning of the game, I was worried there wasn't going to be enemy variety, but then you kind of get out of that first area and you see some different enemies. And, you know, the boss design is really cool as well. I think that, you know, this is a really cool looking game if you love pixel art, which, you know, we do. So I enjoy it. Like, I think when we looked at this actually last week on the show, I was like, oh, you know what? This is good enough. Like, looks good enough for me to want to play it, right? Mm-hmm. You know, just like as like a piece of art, right? Like, I love the way this game looks because it reminds me of like a lot of games I played a lot of as a kid, right? It was like, basically, I remember like if I saw something like this at like EB Games, yeah, I was like, this is the game I want to play. So it's very true of this. I love the dark fantasy side of things. And then also the different kind of areas and biomes look pretty neat as well. And, you know, it does feel like you're going from one area to the next. It doesn't feel too one note at all.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, the graphics here are definitely a strong suit because they're just leaning into that, you know, Game Boy look. And it works really well for them. Like everything from like the little decoration that's on, you know, your inventory screen to like, you know, the environments and the different biomes you come across. I was also worried about the enemies at a certain point where I was like, are we going to get a little bit more variety than like these zombie dudes, basically? And yeah, you start to, as you explore, you start to see more. There's specifically an enemy I thought was really cool. It's like the teleporting one that looks like a little green beetle. It's like, you know, I was like, that's a cool design. You know, not the most like novel not the most, you know, unique mechanic there, but like it looks cool. So I think, yeah, there's a lot of positives here with the art. I think that I would like, I don't know if this falls really on like the art side, but to access like your inventory and things like that, you always have to go to like the start menu, right? And just kind of like go, I don't know. I feel like if there was maybe a display of like what I had equipped on my inventory on the screen, or like if there was a dedicated button that would just open it up, I kept like, you know, forgetting I had an inventory where I'm like, oh yeah, I have another weapon here. Like I have a dagger that I found. Then, you know, I found like a few other weapons. It's not as much as I would like, and you know, as with the amount of time I played, but, yeah. So that was like the only thing, but I think like, I would love to play this on a handheld, you know, like I feel like this would just, it just fits perfectly with the aesthetic, and, yeah, it's really well done. Plus the character itself is like kind of cool, right? It's kind of like a Robin Hood-y, purple Robin Hood kind of vibe, with the way the character looks sort of. So, you know, just a cool design there, for the main character. So yeah, I think overall it does a pretty good job of, delivering on the art side.
Yeah. Yeah. It would have been kind of neat. Like this almost feels like it was a game that they were trying to develop as a ROM for the Game Boy Color or like Game Boy Advance or something like that. Because, it would be sweet to just be rocking the couple buttons with this, because that's all you're doing anyway. So,
yeah. What makes me think of that too is like when you have the dialogue, like it takes up the whole screen.
Yeah. Right?
Like I'm like, that would only really, that's what reminds me like the most of like, this should be on Game Boy, because that's what you would have on Game Boy because they had limited screen real estate. But the fact they released this on Steam and like, there aren't those little changes, right? Where, you know, I don't need the dialogue to be that big, makes me think that like this could be on Game Boy and like be perfect for it. So yeah. Yeah. Cool stuff.
Yep. Yeah. Good stuff. Now, the sound and music. Yes. It sounds really cool. It's got that nice 16-bit soundtrack, that is very reminiscent of that era of video games, as well as the same with the sound effects, right? Mm-hmm. You know, it's not like groundbreaking whatsoever. I'm not saying, I will say the music I thought was going to be one of the like truly groundbreaking like soundtracks. When you first boot up the game, there's like, you know, this is in my notes, just like one moment in the beginning of the game when it's booting up and you're getting into the story or whatever, it's kind of got this like weird kind of like pulsing. You're like, oh, this is kind of like sick. Mm-hmm. And then it kind of just falls into that kind of Castlevania-esque, like, you know, organ music, like almost like Bach-ish kind of thing, which works for what this game is, right? This is like supposed to be like a dark fantasy game, so it's exactly what you would expect out of it, but it's not necessarily groundbreaking to me. And then, you know, I think with the sound effects in this style of game just need to be serviceable, and they definitely were.
Yeah, I'm with you. You know, it's I always think of, like, with these kind of games, with some of the sound effects of just that, like, bass, like, default sound of, like, whack, like that, yeah. You know, that, like, you just hear in so many games that are like this. That's kind of the vibe with this game in terms of, like, sound effects. It's not getting, you know, I don't even know if there's sound effects for the specific enemies, right, that they make, that I remember, just kind of you attacking them. I honestly can't recall right now, but yes, with the soundtrack, you know, it's funny. It's like, you know, I don't know. Yeah. Just kind of like,
the arpeggios.
Yeah. Like looping kind of, yeah. It just, yeah, it's fine. Doesn't take away from the game at all. And you know, could see it playing out of a Game Boy. So, you know, they kind of aligned on that in terms of, like, the art and the sound, but yeah. Don't have too many notes on the sound. They're just, you know, not super in depth.
Yeah. Now, performance-wise, I didn't really run into many bugs or anything like that. I saw some reviews that mentioned that there were some bugs, but, like, those are few and far between. So, I mean, that might have just been whatever they were dealing with. I didn't run into anything. How about you?
One time after I died and I went back to get my tears, they weren't there. And it wasn't like, it was like when I first started playing the game. So maybe they patched it since then. Cause every time after that, they were there. So that was an issue I had. And then, I don't know, I just had a weird issue, which maybe it's just me, but like when I launched it on my computer, it didn't go to my main monitor. It went to like another one. And then I had to go in the settings and like switch the monitor. Luckily there was a setting for it. But yeah, other than that though, I mean, it ran fine. You know, it's a pretty well optimized game, I'd say.
Yeah. Now let's get to our rating. Our ratings are as follows. Certified Fresh Juice are the best games. These are our favorite games. We think that they're, you know, near perfect or if not perfect, and that, you know, we would recommend for anybody. Followed by that is a steal. These are good games, not bad whatsoever. You know, they're just, you know, not quite in the upper echelon for us. They are just living in the really good tier, right? This is like your A tier. After that is On Sale. These are games that have some good stuff going on, but also, you know, have some bad stuff going on. So, like, if you can look past the bad stuff, you're going to enjoy the game. If you can't, that's fair too. You might want to pick it up on sale and wait for maybe a couple patches or something like that. After that, we have Manager Special. These are games that if it's like on a deep discount or you see it that's like free to play, we didn't particularly enjoy it, but you might if you're just willing to throw some money, just a little bit of money at it. You know, why not, right? And maybe it's a good genre for you. And then finally, Spoiled Milk are games that we don't really recommend for anybody. We luckily do not run into a lot of those games, but Matthew, you made me do my juicy take first. What is your rating for Tearscape?
So I'm giving Tearscape, I'm giving it a low steal. And I think it delivers on kind of what I thought the game would be, other than like a few minor things, but overall it delivered on, like, okay, I'm expecting this to be like a Game Boy version of Zelda and, you know, Dark Souls combined. That's essentially what you get. So yeah, I'm giving it a low steal. I think, you know, the things I commented on earlier would have made it a little bit better, maybe a higher steal. I never really found that this game entered that like Certified Fresh Juice territory. But yeah, that's what I'm giving it for right now. I was on the fence with an On Sale and a steal, and I bumped it up a little bit because I do think the gameplay is fun. It's just, it is very, you know, basic at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think I'm going to give it a solid steal. I think you're going to have a really good experience with this. And I think there's going to be a audience that's really going to love this game. Right. I'm a little bit in between, like, I'm like good experience and close to loving it. I think that there's a few things that are keeping away from being a Certified Fresh Juice. First of all, I do think it's very, you know, I think there's not much more to it than what you experience, I think, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
like it doesn't feel like there's a grand scale here. Like it's hard to kind of get lost in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it could have used actually some better story points here, some better world building. And I think that probably would have kind of hit it home here. Honestly, though, if this game was like ported to a Game Boy Color, I would play the hell out of it. This game would be sick in that realm. But I for now, I think it's like an optimistic steal. I think that the people who are going to love this game are going to love it, and the people who wouldn't love it are probably still going to like it, if that makes sense. So
yeah,
it's a neat little game, and I gotta remember, is this the first from this dev?
I believe it is, yes. Nerds Take Over, their first game. At least on Steam, that we're seeing.
Yeah. So, I mean, listen, this is a great first outing. So, hopefully see more. I mean, I looked at their YouTube. It's like only stuff about Tearscape. So, nice first outing. So, we'll see, you know, what they get into after that.
Yeah. Plus, there is a free demo. So, if what we said interests you, definitely check out the demo and see if it's for you.
Yeah. You know, I never do this on Steam. I followed them. I followed the dev. Oh. So, you know, I don't know if I'll get notified more if they, you know, these devs put out more stuff, but it's got to have some functionality somewhere.
No.
Anyway.
No.
Nah.
Yeah, it's just nah. They forgot about it.
All right. Game talk next week. We talk about some games. So if you want us to talk about any games that you've been enjoying, we'll take a look, right? That's actually a great, great way to, you know, get involved in the Discord that is free to use. It's in the show notes below. But for now, we're going to go to some listener questions. These are submitted by the Juice Heads in that Discord, unless you are my wife. And the first one is my wife. R. Carp asks, what's a food that you always try to make sure you are stocked up on?
All right. So there's like some staples, you know, and I also, you know, I work from home. So some of these are like, I just like to have them in the house because I'm working from home. So, well, one is ketchup. I always have ketchup. That's, you know, that's a condiment, but I always have some ketchup. I always keep an eye on how much ketchup I have because I do like ketchup. A frozen pizza usually. Just as a backup lunch if I need it or dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically, like some days at work just get too, you know, it's like I have like no time for anything. So I just like I'll throw that in while and then go to a meeting and then go get it after or whatever. But that and then I always like to have some cookies, any type of cookie, even if it's just a little bit. I just like little cookies in the house just when I get a sweet tooth. Go for the cookies. And then probably the fourth thing, I'll just go with a drink. I always have, this on, Amazon subscribe and save Pure Leaf unsweetened tea. I love unsweetened black tea and I love theirs specifically because it actually tastes like tea and it doesn't taste like it has sugar or like a bunch of sodium in it or something weird that the other companies do anyway. But, so probably those four things I've always got some around for different reasons. Everything's got a different reason, different purpose.
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, like, there's definitely ingredients that I always, like, have, right? Like, onions, garlic, celery, those are, like, all things that I'm always making sure are stocked. Although, I guess I would say my wife is more on top of it than I am. But Coke Zero always keeps stocked. I'm a big Coke Zero drinker. I try to always have some form of a block of cheddar cheese, usually Cabot.
Nice.
Costco's got like the big one and like, yeah, you can just chip at it, you know, just like chink, chink, chink and just, you just go crazy. What else? That's pretty much it's eggs. That's like ingredient stuff. Yeah. But like, you know, I guess like we always have some form of dumpling, frozen dumplings or like pot stickers in the freezer, because that's always like a nice like snack, or we can make a meal out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But good question. Good question.
Yeah. Good one.
K-more asks, who cares about the Super Bowl? Let's talk about the male ski jumper injection scandal going on. Thoughts?
What is it? Do you know thoughts. What that is?
Yeah.
I didn't even hear about this. What is this?
So the ski jumpers, like the long jump guys were, I don't know what country, you know, these skiers came from this, but they were injecting their penis with, like something to bulge it out, right? Make it bigger. But the reason was, is so that when they would get fitted for the skin tight stuff that they have to wear, that it would, like, when their penis shrunk back down after the injection, there would be more fabric and would give them more drag when they're going through the air, so they would stay airborne longer. So my thoughts are, like, that is pretty crazy, but also I mean, like, yeah, whatever. I mean, if that's what you feel like you need to do to, like, cheat, like, that seems, I mean, like, cheating's bad. So, I mean, do that on your own time. Inject your penis in the off season, man. So
that's crazy.
Yeah.
That's like, I feel like there's multiple other, like, ways you could go about when you get fitted, something shrinks afterwards, right? Like, you could, with muscles or with, like, eating a lot, and then you go get fit, right? And then, like, I don't know. Well, I guess, I don't know. That's crazy. I didn't think it was going to go the genitalia route, and it did. This is, is this confirmed to have happened with certain skiers, or is this just, like, something they're investigating still?
I can't really say if it is confirmed. I only heard about this hearsay, and I don't know if I want to look it up, but
that's all right. Yeah, we don't, you know, we got safe search on. But
yeah, crazy.
Wow, that is wild. Yeah, I did not hear about that. Honestly, the only thing I've seen with the Winter Olympics is that the U.S. beat Canada in curling. So, us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But that's about it.
Cool. And then the last question we have, another food question. Bags asks, what's your favorite snack to have while watching sports?
Favorite snack to have when watching sports. Man, this is, I mean, I love having wings. I don't know if that's a snack, really, but I love having wings. But if it's more like something that would be in your pantry, I always just like the waffle, the Snyder's of Hanover, like, waffle-shaped pretzels.
Ooh.
Yeah, usually those and, like, a Pure Leaf unsweetened tea, you know? Have a little bit of that. That's probably the one I've had the most of when I'm just watching games at home. If I'm hanging with the boys, obviously it gets a little bit more unhealthy, in that direction. But we had like some hoagie dip with some chips yesterday. That was pretty good. Nice. I love me some hoagie dip. So that's definitely up there. But yeah, that's what I'm thinking. What about you?
I like charcuterie, like some cheese, some salami, some crackers. That goes pretty hard.
Yeah.
A buffalo chicken dip.
Yeah.
That's next level. I mean, we were at, for the Super Bowl, we were at my friend Eric's parents' house, and they always go all out. There was ziti. They did like pepperoni stromboli slices and buffalo chicken stromboli slices.
Oh!
Wings. Jesus. There was the charcuterie.
Yeah.
There was, I mean, you name it, they had it. And, you know, so I'm like, I don't know if that, like, I have a favorite, but there are definitely ones that I gravitate towards.
Yeah.
But
our buddy Pat made some pizza dip So just like pizza with pepperoni on it, and then you get a little tiny piece of bread, you put it on there, and you make like a mini pizza, basically. It was nice. It was delicious. Plus some jalapeno poppers were good, but they weren't breaded, though. They like were in the jalapeno.
Oh, yeah.
And bacon
wrap. Do the bacon? Yeah, bacon wrap.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Those are good.
That's good stuff.
That's good stuff.
That's good stuff. You know, our buddy Pat makes some really good stuff, and he just needs to get over the blue cheese thing and the mushroom thing.
Yeah, and the pickle thing.
Those are the big three. Actually, wait, does he like mushrooms? I feel like he doesn't like mushrooms.
He doesn't like pickles, I know that.
I know he doesn't like pickles. I know he doesn't like blue cheese. So, Pat, we got to work on that one together. We can. And I'll try some ranch for you, Pat. I'll try. But, all right, this brings us to the end of the show, but we always have to make a stop at the Rec Room where we recommend something that perhaps is not an indie game. And we have, I'm assuming I know what you are recommending. We have two albums.
Yes.
To recommend?
Yes, we do. Yep. And this was, I think, an answer in the listener question last week of my most anticipated album of the year. And it's The Fall Off from J. Cole release, which is he's been basically teasing it for like a decade. Finally released on February 6th. Two discs, like 20-something songs, and they're all really great quality. Like, just honestly, I think it's like now in my top albums of all time, probably.
Wow.
Which is pretty wild. I'm still kind of listening through everything, but the more I listen to it, and the reason I think that is because for me, I'm like, and I've actually seen some other people say this that are like fans of hip hop, but it's like every time I listen through the album, I have like a different top three. And I'm like, that's probably a sign that it's just a great album, where I'm like, you know, I'm like, this one's really good. I think maybe this is creeped up in the top three. Oh, but that one, you know. So just some songs to recommend off of it. Quick Stop is a great song. If you're into that, you know, if you're into like J. Cole and all that stuff, Lonely at the Top, Poor Thing, those are good. So, specifically, there's a really cool song called What If, and it literally is from the perspective of Biggie and Tupac, but it's as if, like, what if the bullshit didn't get in the way because they were friends? And so it's kind of the perspective of each of them in each verse, and like how we could basically still be alive today if we didn't let that stuff, you know, kind of get in the way. Which is cool because there's been other songs like that that are from their perspective, but usually it is not in a, you know, kind of like brotherly sense, which is something that J. Cole does really well. And he's very humble and grounded and just different from like what you typically hear. Very introspective. And then also just now as a father too, there are some songs on here where I'm like, they get me because I'm like, man, like, you know, that's what it's about, you know, like it, forget all the noise. This is what it's about. And I think a good example of why, specifically I'm a big fan of this artist is, he just like in his early days with this album, he has his old Honda Civic that he got, and he drove around North Carolina, where he's from, with a trunk full of CDs, just selling them to people like he used to. But obviously he gets big crowds now and stuff when he's doing that. But he literally just like he'd tweet and be like, oh, I'm pulling up to this college campus before the game. And he'd be there for like an hour. And then so if you're lucky enough, you know, you got a picture with him or whatever. And I was like, oh, maybe he'll make his way to Jersey. But no, he was just doing his home state. But that was cool, too. I always like when artists are, you know, the way we grew up with music, they still cherish kind of, you know, it doesn't need to be all the streaming stuff and all that. So I thought that was pretty cool. So, yeah, I'm recommending it. The Fall Off. If you're into hip hop, you probably already know about it. But it is it's a great album. So. Boom. And I'm not even going to try to say your album name. I can't wait for you to say it.
I don't even know how I'm going to say it either. so I, in the past couple weeks leading up to the Super Bowl, I was like, okay, the Bad Bunny thing. Mm-hmm. I knew Bad Bunny from his acting. You know,
Happy Gilmore too.
I actually never even saw him in Happy. He was in Bullet Train.
Oh, okay.
And then like it was on SNL a bunch. Then I got it's like the 50th anniversary of SNL. Yada yada yada. So like you know, I knew he's like funny and like a you know a good like you know pretty good actor. I knew like I had heard some of his songs like in passing, but this was like I would say this is probably the first Super Bowl halftime show where I was like, I haven't really listened, right?
Yeah.
And obviously there was quote unquote controversy around it too, which is ridiculous because Puerto Rico's part of America. Anyway.
Yeah. Let's get into it. Let's do it.
Yeah. It's so stupid. It's not worth getting into.
What's your juicy take on the state of the country? My juicy take
is... is the people that tuned in to Kid Rock instead were idiots. But, Lady Fresh had kind of been getting into him since this album came out. Now, last week at the Grammys, he won Album of the Year. And it is Debe Terrar Mas Fotos is the album. You probably have seen it at this point. You know that he won the Grammy for Best Album of the Year. He's got like two... you know, white lawn chairs. And like, I started listening to this album, like kind of leading up. And I was like, okay, I mean, I like this. I mean, I remember reggaeton kind of popping off like in college. And like when I started going to bars, like when it'd be at, you know, like Havana's in New Hope, Pennsylvania, like they'd play a lot of reggaeton. So This is all very, and it's like, this album's like really good. And then, you know, he kind of really cemented himself as like a great artist. Like I think that Super Bowl halftime show was so much fun, and it was Did I understand a word? No. Did I need to? No, I don't think so. It's fun. It's like, I don't know. It's a good album. I think the album is definitely worth checking out. At least some of the songs, right? I think Nueva Yol is the first album on the track. I think that's like Puerto Rican slang for New York. These are things I'm learning. DTMF, AO, these are all like great, great songs off the album. So if you don't mind listening to some languages that you don't normally speak, or if you do speak them, you should definitely listen to it. Yeah. But Bad Bunny. He's pretty good. And he's like really, really hot. Like, what the hell? Like, this guy's like sexy.
Yeah.
I've never seen my wife look at a TV screen like she did last night. That was crazy. But, and I was like, yeah. And then I was like, yeah, me too.
Hey.
That just means she likes what I like. Anyway, Bad Bunny's album from this past year, Debe Terrar Mas Fotos.
There we go. Boom.
There we have.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah. It was an entertaining halftime show with all the bushes, too. People as bushes. Yeah. That was pretty cool.
Yeah,
The only thing I, like, this has nothing to do with Bad Bunny, but, like, there's always, I feel like, I wonder what the crowd sees at certain parts during the halftime show. I'm like, can they even see? Like, some of the artists, you know, it's almost like for like 5 minutes, like I feel like the people in the crowd are like, where is he or where are they? You know, I just wonder what that experience is like, you know, at the stadium.
I think that they're seeing what we're seeing on the big screen.
Oh, true. Yeah.
So it and really then, like, is when he's like
TV
up,
and then like certain is. Parts. Yeah.
Because think about who's going to the Super Bowl. Celebrities, rich people, and then like diehard fans
Drunks.
Of the teams playing.
Yeah.
So the fans are like, well, I'm here for my team. The halftime show is like a secondary thing. I don't think anybody's going just for the halftime show, but maybe there are.
Yeah. John Hamm. Yeah.
Yeah, I saw him. Yeah. He was dancing on the side.
Yeah. That's good.
All right. Well, that's been another banger of an episode. You can find me, folks, on Blue Sky at Fresh Buds Pod. I have another podcast called Fresh and Buds. There is a new set out in that game, which is Flesh and Blood TCG. And this week I'm doing a set review. So I still have to record about 5 hours of a podcast within 2 nights and edit it. So that's going to be sick. So after this, I'm eating dinner, I'm drinking a Monster, and I'm getting to work.
Oh, snap.
Oh, snap. Fresh juice. Fresh juice. You can find us on all socials at Fresh Juice Pod. Matthew, where can people find you?
Find me at Matty Gorm, G-O-R-M, on all the socials. Other than Instagram, is a Y-T at the end. And, yeah, there we go. Another app.
Game Talk next week. Get your juicy takes ready. If you have juicy takes, submit them on the Discord, which you can join for a low payment of $0.99. No, wait, no. It's actually...
no, whoa, it's free. You're skimming some off the top here? What's going on? I'm skipping
a little off the top. Not the 99. But
yeah.
Stay juicy.